Back in my early career in D.C., back in the 80s and early mid-90s, I was writing a lot about government subsidies and government interventions. And one of the things I was writing about was trade policy. Back then, trade policy was becoming a hot item. Pat Buchanan was leading a push in order to have much higher trade barriers to build Fortress America, close off to imports. President George H.W. Bush didn't sound as stupid, but he did a lot of stupid things in office. Back then, they had a storyline that America was being victimized by free trade. It was always a load of hokum, but it was a storyline that members of Congress sold to justify supporting new trade restrictions and import quotas. Now, back at that point, the federal government was imposing 8,753 different taxes on imports. That was a number of categories in the tariff code. While most of those tariffs were not that high, average was around 5%, a lot of them were in the stratosphere, and they effectively blockaded American ports against foreign goods. Tariffs are basically price controls by village idiots, because most members of Congress simply could not explain why they favored a certain tariff for one chemical, but a different tariff for the different chemical that's almost the same. It's simply because it was what some other congressman did in 1922 in the tariff bill then, and we've kind of carried that forward. Tariff code is like class warfare at its worst. Mink furs are duty-free, but polyester sweaters for babies have a 34% tariff. Lobster is duty-free, but infant food preparations, 17% tariff. Worst of all, tariffs on cheap cigars are three times higher than the tariffs on fancy cigars, which simply proves there is an anti-redneck bias in the tariff code. But the actual tariff levels for thousands of categories were basically invisible because tariffs were not listed by prices, so you could not tell the percentage of the tariff. Instead, the tariffs were listed by weight, by kilogram, by count, or some other measure, which is simply, you have no idea what the tariff burden is. It makes it very difficult to explain to Americans how they're being heavily taxed for some of these items. So I was working on a book on trade policy, so I contacted federal agencies that dealt with trade, and I sought to find out how much exactly is the tariff for for these thousands of categories that don't list a percentage tariff. All the federal agencies said, oh, that information does not exist. We don't have it. No one's ever done it. So, yeah, and I believe them. I took a break from finishing that book on trade policy, did a foreign trip in 1990. I was roaming around Europe with a rail pass and stopped in Geneva, Switzerland to visit the General Agreement for Trade and Tariffs headquarters. Now, GATT headquarters was a huge old building on the side of Geneva. It looked like a mix between a fortress and a castle for international bureaucrats. So I was entering. I had an appointment with some of the textile guys. The guards at that building searched me like I was a lawyer going to visit a client on death row. Everything got searched. I almost had to take off my socks. I had a courier bag like this. They kind of dumped it open and pulled it all through. So they finally let me in. So I went to the appointment, talked to those guys on the textile imports, and their office was way the hell down at the other end of the building. It was like a football length hall. You had to walk the whole way down there. After a good chat with those guys, I was walking back down that endless hallway, and I saw a rickety card table that was stacked high with thick documents. As I got closer, I noticed the door next to the table was labeled Tariff Negotiations. And those documents, the title for those documents was U.S. Proposal for Market Access Negotiations on Tariffs, and it was all stamped in the big letter Secret. So I slowed down in my entire life passed before my eyes. I was thinking of all those years in Presbyterian Sunday school. I was thinking about my years as a Boy Scout. But then, on the other hand, it popped in my mind my favorite line from a Doonesbury cartoon, and that was, but the pension fund was just sitting there. So, you know, there were like 20 copies of that document on that table. You know, they were extras, right? Maybe they were heading for recycling. Actually, I never even came to a full stop as I was walking along. I saw that, and perhaps prepared by sheer guilt about the secrets it was keeping, that 500-page document damn near leaped into my courier bag. So the question is, are the guards going to search me on the way out? Because having that document might put me in violation of U.S. laws that prohibit possession of confidential data in international negotiations. You know, I didn't have time to stop and check with a lawyer on that. So I came up to the guard desk there, and, I said something in garbled German or even worse, French. It was Switzerland, so they were used to hearing Americans butcher both languages, and they just kind of waved me on. So I was heading back to my hotel, and I flipped through that document. I realized it was the gold mine. It was a Rosetta Stone for understanding U.S. protectionism, because every tariff line was converted to a percentage. That was what they were bargaining on with the other governments. But I was concerned that someone might have spotted me picking that up from the table, and the people at the GATT headquarters knew where I was staying in the hotel. So I got back to the hotel room, and my then wife was sitting there. She was puffing on a Marlboro, and I said, "We're leaving the country right now." I was playing at the train station, and she says, was ist los? Kein verstehen." I said, no, later, let's go. Grab your bags, we're getting out of this country. So we raced to the train station, hopped on the train, made it out of the country with that document. So I got back to Washington, and I called the chief tariff official at the U.S. Trade Representative's office. Now, this is a woman I never met in person. I only knew her as a telephone voice who always sounded peeved when I called. Because, I was always, "So what's this number? What's that? Go away." So I just, she gets on the phone, and I'm like, "Yeah, I need to confirm some data on some of U.S. tariff lines," I said. She says, "Huh?" So I said, "Tariff code line 9108, 9120, that's low-price watches. The tariff on that's 151%, right?" I paused. I didn't hear anything. I said, "So the tariff line 2401-3060, that's tobacco stems. The tariff on those tobacco stems is 458%, right?" She says, "Where did you get those numbers?" I said, "Well, from the U.S. government's March 15th GATT proposal." She says, "That's confidential information." And I said, "Well, I reckon the word secret stamped on every one of the 500 pages, but I still have to verify it." and the sad thing was that she slammed down the phone before I could wish her a good day. But those sky-high tariffs helped ignite controversies that obliterated the U.S. government's free trade Vestal Virgin promenade. Now, some folks might criticize me for conveying that tariff report. It was a government document. My tax dollars paid for it. And Americans had a right to know what's said. It wasn't like it had national security secrets like on CIA torture or NSA wiretapping. And I had asked for several federal agencies, "Hey, how about this information? Doesn't exist." But that's the basic rule in DC, and that is, if government officials lie to you, it's public service. If you lie to them, it's a felony.